Amen. Song of testimony, song of praise. Love that. You know, the greatest witnessing tool that you have in your toolbox is your testimony of how you got saved. And if you don't have a testimony of how you got saved, let me encourage you to get saved. If you don't know how you got saved, where you were, when it happened, don't know anything about it, then chances are you're not. You know, now somebody else might not know about your salvation, but you'd better know about your salvation. You better have that settled. And thank you so much. I thought about giving you all a blank sheet of paper tonight and inviting you to use that paper to write down anything that you want, to draw, doodle, to give you permission to do what we do anyway, you know, when we come to church. And, hey, by the way, there's a young man who gave me a year and a half ago, I think, came up to me after church, and he gave me a drawing that he had drawn of me. I don't know if he's in here. I don't see him. I don't want to embarrass him. But anyway, I carry it in my Bible. And he said, now I was listening during the church service. I was listening, but I was drawing, you know. And so some of you would draw. By the way, I don't recommend this necessarily all the time, but I have tried this before. I have drawn pictures, sketches. I'm not an artist, but I've drawn sketches of what the preacher was talking about, and it was amazing that as I was drawing, when I got through and looked at it, I could almost recount better from the drawing than I could if I had taken notes, you know. But taking notes gives you the scripture references and all those kinds of things, the statements from the Word of God. And so I encourage you to do that. But you could write anything on that paper that I would give you, a blank sheet. Some of you would probably do grocery lists. Yeah, grocery lists. Others of us would do a to-do list. Oh, I can't forget about this. You think of things, you know. Don't you think of things while you're driving? I think of stuff while I'm driving all the time. And by the time I get to a stoplight, and then find a piece of paper to write on and get the pen out and then deal with, oh, I got to go, you know, and that kind of thing. I forget what it was that I was going to write down. That never happens to you, I know. But sometimes you have to jot that down. By the way, this is just a little food for thought along the ways for free. When you are praying or you are having Bible study with the Lord, that is when your mind is going to think of all kinds of things that you have to be sure to remember to do. And Satan will gladly try to come up with things and remind you of things in your mind to try to distract you away from what you're doing. Praying and talking with God, I think of things all the time. Here's what to do. Keep a piece of paper with you and just jot it down and get back to praying. If you try to push it out of your mind, it's going to plague you. So just go ahead and write it down, get it off your mind, and then get back to prayer, get back to Bible study, get back and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and focus on His Word. And so that's just for free. But my point was on the blank page. As we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, children are a blank piece of paper. They really are. And if after a while of giving you those papers, wouldn't it be awful of me to ask you to hand them in? Wouldn't it be terrible for me to take those and then to read what was written on there, you know? Or what was drawn on there or whatever, you know, and you didn't really realize and know that everybody was going to hear what it was that you've got on your paper. Listen, please, a lot of people don't realize and understand that they are writing every day on the fleshy heart of a child, that they are writing and they are inscribing their life upon a new life. And the things that we do and the things that we say and the attitudes in which they're given and all of that is being recorded on a hard drive that cannot be erased. And that can be for good or it can be for bad. I thought of a lot of different titles to give this study here this evening in Ephesians chapter 6. I thought of angels or demons. I thought of a lot of different titles to give it. But if you're jotting this down, I encourage you to write down Raising Children for Christ. Very simply, Raising Children for Christ. When I was a youth pastor, and I would get up to preach, perhaps in the youth services or something like that, or when pastor was gone, and as a youth pastor, I get up to preach, and I'd be burdened for the young people, I'd be burdened for the youth and things. And so there'd be times that as I'm speaking to the young people and speaking to the teens, I would also be speaking to the parents. And here I am, a youth pastor, and I've got a little one in arms. Timothy, my youngest, you know, he's just a baby. And I had people come up to me and say, "That's a wonderful message, Brother Mark. Thank you so very much." And later on, when you have young people of your own and they're all grown and all that kind of thing, then we'll talk. What you say sounds really good. And what do you say to that? You know, what do you say? I'm a young whippersnapper. What do you say to that? I'm a young pastor. Fast forward, I'm a young pastor, pastoring in West Virginia. And my children are my oldest, Timothy. He's about 14, 15. And David and Melody are running around in the junior church, you know. And I come across passages like this and preach messages that deal with the home and the family and that kind of thing. And I remember this one particular gentleman, he walked up to me and he had a few years on me. He had about 8 or 9, 10 years on me, something like that. And his teenagers were up in the youth group and beyond. And he said, when your teenagers, when your kids grow up, then you know, we'll talk then. And I try to tell both of those groups and both those times, I try to humbly and very, very kindly say, you know, God's truth is true no matter who presents it. You understand that. I'm just the messenger boy. I didn't write it. I didn't make up the rules. This is what God says. I'm just delivering the mail. That's all. But we oftentimes want to shift blame. I understand. I know that when you have proof in the pudding, I understand that that helps what you're saying. I understand that. I remember reading about a guy named D.L. Breckinridge. D.L. Breckinridge was a preacher, and he was commenting as he was a young man. He was commenting, he was just married and all. And to his mother, he said, when us boys, when we were growing up, you were really hard on us. I mean, you were rigid. Like a rod of iron, you know, and I think you were too hard on us. And she said, when you raise three young men that are as good a preachers as you three are, then you can talk. See, her proof was in her pudding. Now, God makes it very simple. I'm so glad of that. I'm glad that Christianity is not complex. I'm glad it's not complicated. I'm glad it's simple. I'm glad that they tell me that the Bible is written on a fifth grade reading level. Now, that was probably fifth grade reading level a number of years ago. Okay? We have dumbed ourselves down. Okay? But at some point a few years ago, it was still agreed that a fifth grade reading level. And the words are very simple words. Some of them are older words, but they're simple words. They're not long, except for people's names. They're not many syllables. And like children, obey your parents. I mean, that's not very difficult. Okay, Let's read our verses 1 through 4, Ephesians 6. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Raising children for Christ. Now, you're going to see in here, we're going to look at the command expressed. There's just words I gave it here. The command is expressed. The command is expanded. The command is explained, and the command is expounded. Look, please, in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents. Children, this blank sheet of paper. This is given to us by God's holy word, and it simply says obey. Now, this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at wives and husbands and now children. If you were to give that whole passage a theme, it would be how to have a happy home. And it says, wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. It's very straightforward, very simple, and it is commandments. It is directive. It's not a suggestion. It's not, well, if you feel like it, you know, if it's not raining, you know, and whatever. Children, obey. That's a four-letter word, obey. We don't like that word. From the cradle, babies still have a sinful nature. We do not have to teach children how to lie. They learn it on their own. We have to teach them to tell the truth. Why? Because they have a sinful nature. Where'd they get it from? Dad. That's where they got it from. And from my dad before me, all the way back to Adam in the garden. Children, obey your parents. Now, I'm going to jump ahead for a moment. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." We're going to deal with that next time, okay? Where do they learn, pray tell, where do they learn how to be obedient to their masters? How do they know how to be a good employee and to take orders and do things that they're told to do? They learn it at where? Home. They're supposed to learn it at home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This four-letter word, don't debate it, don't delay it, just do it. Don't debate it, don't delay it, just do it. Delayed obedience, by the way, is not obedience. We give it big names like procrastination. That sounds like you have to take a amoxicillin for it, you know. I've got procrastination, you know. Procrastination is disobedience. What is disobedience? It's rebellion. And when that rebellion is coupled and fertilized and grows, that turns into defiance. And you can see defiance in a four-year-old. In a four-year-old, you can see defiance. Don't do that. And that big toe goes right over the line. What are you going to do about it? Wise parents will fight battles with rebellion, disobedience, and defiance at the young ages. At the young ages. And they will be thanking God when they become teenagers. Children, obey your parents. We have some young people in here. And so I didn't expect we were going to have young people in here. So to the young people, it's very simple, it's very clear. And later on, I've got some good news about it. I've got some good news, so hang on. There's some good stuff coming. But when dad says, do something, God says, do it. He punctuates it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Oh, there's the little catchphrase, in the Lord. Okay, so when teenagers grow up, they think this is kind of one of those little loopholes. What if my parents, preacher, what if my parents aren't saved? Preacher, what if my parents, they're saved, but they're not spiritual? I mean, they're not walking with God right now. They used to, but they're not. Or, preacher, my parents just want their way about my life all the time. They're pretty selfish. I want God's will for my life. Now, I understand that there are exceptions and things. A boy or a girl, a teenager, should not feel compelled to sin against God when told, you know, to do something and it's wrong and it's morally wrong and that kind of thing. I'm thinking of the little girl that the neighbor lady walked over to the house and knocked on the door. She looked through the window and saw the neighbor lady standing there. She didn't want to talk to her. And so she kept on knocking. So she sends a little girl, little daughter to the door. Says, "Tell her I'm not home." So the little girl opens the door and says, "Mommy said to tell you that she's not home." Now, did she obey? Yes. She obeyed. And did she do what was right? Yes, she did what was right. She told the truth. By the way, you know the Bible records lies. The Bible has lies in it. It accurately records those lies. Heard somebody say this week, said, "You know, you could look in the Word of God and I can show you a verse where the Bible says there is no God. I can show you the verse. It says there is no God. It's in the Bible." Yeah, the first part of that statement says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." We try to make mountains out of molehills. And as young people, we try to find any kind of loophole that there might be. I want to show you something based on context that sheds a whole new light on this. Based on context, if you look back in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about wives, look at verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as" what? "Unto the Lord." Okay, so the command is tied as unto the Lord. Skip on down, please, to verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." So the example, it's the command is given connected with the Lord. The command is given connected with the Lord. Now, children, it's a little different. Obey your parents, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Do you know that there is protection under the authority that God has placed you in as a child, placed you in government, placed you in ministry, placed you in whatever? There is protection, spiritual protection, if you are under that authority. If you rebel against and pull yourself out from under that authority, then you are out of God's protection. You're in the Lord's protection. You're out from under the Lord's protection. In the Lord. I don't think I'm too far off on that. I think it'd be a stretch in the context. It would be a stretch to say, okay, Brother Alex, he says to one of his boys, he says, "I want you to take the trash out." And I think it'd be a stretch for one of your boys to say, "Okay, let me find a verse on that and make sure that that's in the Lord. That's something that..." I think that's a stretch, okay? I don't think that we're to qualify the commands that children have the capacity to verify everything that a parent tells them. I was reading about this happened in Prussia. This was many years ago, and trains and all of that, and where a man, it was a pointsman, and he stood there, and he would manually have a lever, and he manually would shift the lever over to get trains to move from track to track. And so there was a lot of downtime in between trains that were coming, and he kept watch, and, you know, sometimes, most of the time they were on time, but sometimes they weren't. And I'm told here recently, you see in the news, young people are playing on the train tracks, and they're daring one another. And somehow, I didn't realize, but if you are actually on the train tracks, you might not be able to hear the train coming. This man's son was there with him. And his eyes were off the train tracks. And all of a sudden, he felt a little vibration. And he looked, and here come the train. And to his horror, his son was playing between the rails. He was just kicking rocks and playing. And there was not time to do anything except he yelled at his son. He said, "Son, lie down." And his son, he laid down just as that train went over. He threw the lever. When the train passed, with a beating heart, fear, he thought, I have to go see what's probably left of my son. And as the train finished and passed, he looked, and his son was completely whole. His son obeyed what he said, and it saved his life. Saved his life. Children, obey your parents. Because when you obey your parents, you are in effect obeying God in the Lord. Children. And he says, for this is right. For this is right. Now, if you look at nature, it's amazing how that whenever animals give birth and they raise those little ones and things, that pretty much they kick them out. When they can feed themselves, they kick them out. I see it all the time with these sandhill cranes. We've got sandhill cranes that walk around the properties and things here, and they go shopping. They go grocery shopping on our property, and they go after worms and bugs and everything. And all of a sudden, you'll see just one of them for a while, just one of them. And you think, well, where's mama? Where's mama? And then in just a few weeks, you'll see both of them, mommy and daddy, and a little brown one. Just kind of running around, you know. And you'll see them show up every day. And here they are. And real close to mommy, real close to daddy. And that little one will grow up and start turning gray, you know, like mommy and daddy. Start getting big like mommy and daddy. And I've not seen this happen. Pastor Reynolds has seen it happen. He's seen it happen where the mommy and the daddy bird have shooed off that little one, and just rah, 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 you know how they do. And they're just shooing them off and scaring them off and getting them on their own. Now, folks, when human babies, we keep them in the home. We send them off to school, and then they come back, and and they stay in the basement, and they just sometimes just stick around forever. But we have children for, thank God, for years. And we're gonna get to that. I don't know, at this rate, we're not gonna get to it tonight. But this thing of for this is right, we see an order in nature. An order in nature. So the command is expressed. And if you want to write down one simple word beside that, or circle the word obey. That's the key word for the verse. Obey. Children, obey. That's it. That's all. Nothing else. Just obey. Don't feel like that you are doing your children a disservice. Don't feel like that you're trying to become king. Don't feel like that you are being proud or something like that in making your children. Or if you are, by the way, I understand we don't have a lot of young couples in here. I'm speaking here because somebody might look online one day, a few years, you know, raising children for Christ, and so it might be a help to them. But most of us have already been there, done that, got the T-shirt, you know. We still have an impact on grandkids. But I look around and there are still some kids at home. There are still some kids at home in some of these families. So that word obey. And then next verse, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is commandment number 5 of the 10 commandments. And it's the first commandment that has a blessing attached to it. The first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I understand in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, Exodus chapter 20, when it's talking to Israel and giving this command, it was tied in with their living in the promised land, in the land which God will give unto them. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking now to families. He's dealt with wives, he's dealt with husbands, and now he's dealing with children. And he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the principle, even though we're not going to go live in Israel necessarily, the principle of God's blessing is still valid. The principle will still be there. Jot down these two words if you like. Outward blessing and inward peace. Outward blessing has to do with prosperity. Wait a minute. Does that promise that I'll be rich? The Bible says that he will bless you with prosperity. Now tell me something. Who is more prosperous? The man that has $100 million in the bank and has no real friends and his family hates him? Or the man that has $1,000 in the bank and his family adores him and he's got friends everywhere he turns? Who's more prosperous? Yeah, I agree. Outward prosperity. My grandmother, she always used to look at us with our 3 in tow, you know. And she would look at me and put her finger in my face, and she would say these words: "You are a rich man and you don't even know it. You are blessed." Outward prosperity and inward peace, longevity, prosperity and longevity. Hey, what is it that people want? They want a lot of stuff and they want to live a long time. And God says, I'll give you the best of both. Start off by obeying your mom and dad. Young people, look at me, please. Look at me. Some of you are taking my suggestion, you're doodling and things and all that kind of thing. That's fine. But I need you to hear this. I need you to mark this down. If you develop a habit of not obeying your parents, that same action will one day be directed at God. Because ultimately, it's God's authority that he has put over you. So in effect, when you disobey the authority God's put over you, you are disobeying God. So later on, when you get some strength behind you and some courage in you and all that kind of thing, you just might thumb your face against Almighty God when God says in his word, do this and don't do that. Say, I'm going to do it my way, because you're used to it. Mom, Dad, let me turn the guns on us. When we allow our young people to get away with disobedience, we are complicit in bringing them to that attitude. We're complicit. We're enabling them. We use that word, enablers, you know. We're enabling that. You say, well, it's a war. Yes, it is. It is. The ladies in West Virginia referred to my wife as Sergeant Hope. That was their nickname for her. Because across the auditorium, you know, after church, she would say, Melody, David, stop that right now. Get over here. That's awful. That's just terrible. She's a pastor's wife. She's a mama first. She's my wife, helping me to raise our children for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is of utmost importance. It's not about having a good appearance. It's not about having all, you know, I Brother Gungampo, I see you with your four children right here, you know? And boy, they're all, you know, sitting up straight. They're all, you know, in line, and they just do everything that they're supposed to do, and just a model and all that kind of picture of perfection and all that kind of thing. Mom, they're normal young people, aren't they? Oh yeah. Normal young people. Okay? But they're putting on a wonderful presentation of themselves, you know, as you would want them to, you know, for the Lord, for, you know, that kind of thing. But what we're talking about here is not making a good impression. What we're talking about here is making a good habit of life. That will one day, whenever God says in his word, a preacher stands up here and he says, you got to have standards in your life. And you need to put the world out of your life. And we need to say, okay, that's what God said. That's what God said in his word. And God's messenger reminded me of that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey, Lord. Instead of, well, that's your opinion. This is basic. This is the future of our nation. This is the future of our church. This is the future of you. These are the ones that you're grooming is going to make decisions of where you're going to spend the end of your life. We got to hurry. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, prosperity and longevity. Outward blessing, inward peace. Well with thee, and mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The expressed command is to obey. The command expanded is to honor by father and mother. The command is expanded to honor. That has to do with our attitude. That has to do with seeking counsel, advice. You heard about the guy who said that when he was 7 years old, his dad knew everything. When he was 17, his dad knew nothing. When he was 27, his dad knew a little bit. When he was 37, his dad knew a lot. When he was 47, his dad knew everything. And when he was 57, he wished he could talk with his dad again. It's amazing how that happens. Honor our father and mother. So the command is expanded. The command is explained. The blessings that I've just given to you, expressed, expanded, explained, and then the command last is expounded. Look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up. It doesn't say push them up. It doesn't say pull them up. It says bring them. Bring them up. If I had a young person here, I could demonstrate this very simply, couldn't I? Say, go up those steps. That's not what it's saying. Get up here. That's not what it's saying. It says, bring them up. All right, right here. Yep, they're good. Good. Okay, and right here. Yep, that's good. Yep, one more. Okay, one more. Last one. Good. Wonderful. That's great. That's bringing them up. We as parents cannot bring our children where we have not been, where we are not. We cannot bring them. Now, we can point them. We can tell them. But nothing is as effective as doing it with them, them seeing that in our life. The relationship. Relationship. Children belong to God. Parents, now I'm shifting to parents now. Children belong to God. That's why we as a church, you'll see sometimes folks, whenever they have a little one that's birthed into their family, a lot of times they'll come, and I encourage this. They will dedicate that child to the Lord. It is an outward expression of their heart, recognizing that that child is on loan to them. They don't own that child. They, let me prove it. Turn back with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. The last two verses of the chapter. Verse 27, Hannah is talking here. The Bible says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have," what is it? "Lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be," what? "Lent to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. Eli worshipped the Lord there. Folks, she was saying, hey, not mine, the Lord's. Not mine, the Lord's. We are training children and hopefully doing it in a way that they will continue to serve God when they're out of our reach. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you are still a parent with children at home, these first 12 verses, you need to take this to heart. It's in God's Word for a reason. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, here it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou risest up, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which be swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. When you look around and you say, where did that car come from? And that car come from? Where'd that house come from? All this furniture, how did we amass all this? If you've never asked those questions, you haven't moved. At least not recently. Where do we get this much stuff? How is it that we got blessed with all this? I mean, really, truly, you say to your wife, how did we get all this? I mean, you could go back in your mind, and you can recount all the things and where they came from. But to think, how is it that we actually have all this? That's what God was saying. I'm going to take care of you. And when you're comfortable and you have everything that you need and everything you want, beware lest you and your sons and your grandsons and your great-grandsons, that you forget the Lord. And it's exactly what happened to Israel. It's exactly what happened. Parents, don't try to shift the blame and say, ah, well, boys will be boys. Ah, well, I don't want my girl to stick out and, you know, and be different and be embarrassed and that kind of thing. Everyone that God used in a mighty way stuck out. Look at it. I mean, all the way back, you can just name them one after another. Joseph, David, Daniel. I mean, over and over and over. They all stuck out. They were different. That's all right. Seven things, I'll give them to you quickly. I don't think you'll have time to write them down. Seven targets. What should I do as a parent? Number one, let your children know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number one, if you don't get anything else, get that one. Be burdened for your children and pray earnestly. From the day that they're conceived, from the day that you find out you're going to have a baby, Lord, please, at a young age, would you please save this little one? I don't even know their name. But Lord, may they come to know you, and may I do nothing to hinder them coming to you in salvation, but use me to direct them to you. Number two, teach them to live like a Christian. Teach them to live in a way that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, make sure that you regulate diversions of life. Regulate diversions. Be in control of those things, because Satan wants to use things, distractions, and diversions from the main thing of why they are there. Regulate diversions. Number four, to lead worship in the home. If mom or dad don't read the Bible much, then junior one day is not going to read the Bible at all. If the parents don't pray much, then one day the children won't pray at all. If mom and dad don't go to church much, one day the children probably won't go to church at all. You see, the children end up being a little bit worse than us spiritually. So we have to keep the bar high. Next, number five, teach them to control their tongue. Teach them to control their tongue. If you can teach them at a young age to control their tongue, three things that'll help with that. Is it true? Is it true? If you don't know it's true, then don't say it. But first, is it true? Second, is it kind? Is it kind? If it's true, it's not kind, just probably need to keep your mouth shut. Is it true? Is it kind? Third, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Three good things to control their tongue. Number six, to teach the ethic of hard work. Hard work. That may start with picking up their toys when they're 3 or 4 years old. And then next with cleaning up their room, making their bed, doing some chores, and then doing some stuff outside. Teach hard work. And then number seven, this is the culmination of it all. To launch them out to serve God. Whatever God wants for their life. And you have to plant that in their heart and their mind that they're on this planet for a reason. And it's up to them in their walk with God for God to reveal that purpose for their life so that they can fulfill that purpose. And if they fulfill that purpose, then they have contentment, satisfaction, joy. Seven things. Let's stand together, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your precious word. It's very simple. Help me not to think for a moment that any of us have arrived. Lord, if we're not parents of little ones, many of us are grandparents of little ones, great-grandparents of little ones. And help us, Lord, to do what we can to point them to Jesus Christ and as arrows to launch them into this world to accomplish your purpose for their life. Thank you so much for this church family. Help us as we serve you. And Lord, to bring praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Good to have you here.